from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
I'm looking at Wilbur and I'm looking at Otis, and those guys are just barking. Mike, man, I'm gonna kill him. Wilbur, I'm gonna get that first. Dent was saying, no, I'm getting that first. And it was going on, and Hampton was saying, no, I'm getting that first. And I'm looking at these guys and I'm saying, wait. The guy's bleeding at the mouth, the guy's bleeding at the nose. You don't have to kill the guy. We don't care. He's the quarterback. We're going to get him. That's what we do.
Kick ass. Let everything hang out. Am I right?
Walter Payton, Mike Ditka, hungry Chicago, finally champions on this January day in New Orleans.
Been thinking about this for a while, and it actually came to me when I was talking to an executive when I was doing the Cowherd shows, and he was talking to me about the Bears. He was like, you know, this team is made for TV, and we're going to be doing a lot of stuff, certainly around Hard Knocks, but we're expecting the Bears to be a big national talker this year. And when he said made for TV, it just kind of stuck with me, because obviously Hard Knocks is a TV show. It's not a revolutionary thought.
Hard Knocks.
But Q rating goes into that. It's not just about how good you are. It's about how interesting you are. It's about how big the personalities are. It's about the people that people care about on the team. And the 85 Bears is arguably the most interesting football team in the history of the NFL. Arguably. It's one of the best also, but just Punky QB, Walter Payton, the Fridge.
Crazy personalities all across the board. Legendary dominance. They shut out their first two opponents in the playoffs by a combined score of 45-0 before winning the Super Bowl 46-10. So yeah, I mean, there's crazy amounts of intrigue across the board, and they were good the year before. Not great, but I mean, 10-6 the year before.
But I don't think
so. There was a lot of expectation. So you're talking about during the year experiencing it or leading up to it.
I don't think that necessarily the year before necessarily has to factor into it. I'm talking about Q rating. I'm talking about celebrity. I'm talking about if they walked in to the club, would they get the best table? I'm talking about, do they have people that could host Saturday Night Live? When I was in Kansas City and the Chiefs were good and winning double-digit games, you know, it was Alex Smith and Tom Bahali and Jamal Charles and Eric Berry and Justin Houston and Dwayne Bowe. These are good players. These are Pro Bowlers, but none of them had a commercial. None of them had a single commercial because they were just like a good team in Kansas City. But then you get Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and Travis Kelce. Mahomes and Reid and Kelce are in every commercial. They're dating, you know, he's dating Taylor Swift, most famous woman in the world, and they're all of a sudden the new America's team. They're the only team that rates as highly as the Cowboys now, and it's in Kansas City, a small media market. That is the potential of the popularity and the crossover appeal of a great Bears team that is also interesting, and we know that Caleb Williams is going to be interesting. We don't know how good he's going to be. He should be very good, but if he's very good and very interesting, It opens them up to an opportunity that I don't think we've seen in this town in a long time. And you guys can text or call 312-644-6767. Genuinely curious. Like Grody off air, we were talking about it with Dan and Grody after transition. But because I think about coach, quarterback, big personalities of great players, and the team obviously has to be good. Like those were some of the factors that I was thinking of. And since Ditka, let's just start with coach for a second. Since Ditka, who is the most interesting coach the Bears have had?
Most interesting coach?
That's the question here. Most interesting team since 85. So who's the most, like, with the best Q rating that would...
Probably Nagy. Probably Nagy. Those first couple years of Nagy, it was exciting. It was fun. It was different because it was offensive coordinator and they'd never gone down that road. Like Santa's sleigh and all the craziness of the play calls. I mean, Lovey was stoic and impressive. And really and honorable and cool for a while, but interesting is.
I'm not talking best. I'm not talking best. I'm saying this team that we have right now, because I don't find Matt Eberflus particularly interesting.
No,
but
no. Lovey was more interesting than Eberflus
so far.
I mean, Trestman was unbelievably interesting.
But
it was crazy and it was odd and it was polarizing almost from the get-go.
And what's weird is like now I would say it's Wani. Because Wani's, I've called him the most interesting man in football. If you actually think about who he brushed shoulders with and the U in the 80s, the Cowboys in the 90s, replacing Ditka, South Beach, USC, everything that man's lived in football. But we didn't perceive him to be a celebrity coach.
Mm.
And again, Eberflus clearly is not a celebrity coach, but Caleb Williams is a celebrity quarterback. Did you guys see Jalen Johnson at the ESPYs? I don't know if everybody else here follows him on Instagram, but this guy is a number one corner with swagger and who cares about fashion and his foundation, and he's out there and he is eccentric and he is doing national media interviews and impressing the likes of Jim Rome and Colin Cowherd and Rich Eisen. And I mean, Jalen Johnson is, I texted with Colin's producer again. I'm not trying to name drop, but I texted with him after they had Jalen on. He was like, that guy's a future in TV if he wants it. His executive producer.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, so Jalen to me is that type of personality that I think is blowing up on the national stage.
Yeah, there's a lot there. When you posed this question, and it's a good one, I thought about all the different teams having lived through, and I don't want to reference too many of them in case, you know, it fits a listener's pick, whether we're doing calls or not, or fits a Shane pick or a Tanny pick. But for me, it's got to be one of the Cutler years. And I land on 2010 because I thought that team was fascinating. Because you had Lovey and that defense fully legit and believing in full in what Lovey was doing. And then you had the Cutler addition and the belief that Cutler was going to finally be the quarterback that vanquished the Green Bay Brett Favre dynasty, that Cutler was going to be the guy. And you believed it. During the course of that year, you had a lot of time where you believed it. And meanwhile, the defense was just outrageous. Julius Peppers was here to amplify Urlacher and Briggs. And there's Devin with the incredible returns. And you know, so it's just, and you kept believing that maybe this could be it all the way up until Cutler gets hurt and doesn't finish the NFC championship game. You know, so you had intrigue the whole way, and Cutler was fascinating, man. Cutler was like, you know, the conversations that would take place with everyone and just a mix of optimism with proof and look at this to know there's not enough there and there's proof there. And you're like, they better make the most out of this. And you've got Olin as the spiritual tough guy, leader of the offense, and Urlacher, and they all loved Lovey, and people were starting to get a little annoyed with Lovey, but you could always say, which I always did, the players love him and they bust their ass for him. Doesn't matter if we think he's interesting. Doesn't matter.
And that was Mike Martz, Greg Olson.
Oh.
Also, but shot on the south side.
But there were no, let me finish the thought on 2010. there were no wide receivers of consequence. It's not a Brandon Marshall year. So I'd like to add Brandon Marshall to that mix and say, and you add that, but you didn't have that in that particular year. You had Troy Aikman laughing at the wide receivers on that team and saying, how dare they offend our sensibilities by telling us Devin Hester's a number one.
So Shad on the South Side is doing exactly that. Go ahead, Shad, make your suggestion.
Shad, what's up? You're on, sir.
Oh. Sorry, guys.
You're good.
How you doing?
Good. Because you and Spiegs are close on your teams, but you're making a slight amendment. Go ahead.
Absolutely. So the most captivating player in this town that's played any position has been Jay Cutler. I think he gives you that captivating talent plus cachet that Caleb is bringing, plus the on-field moxie or on-field gravitas that you got from Justin. So it's kind of a mixed bag for both. He kind of fit the bill for both types of fans in this city. But when you put Martellus Bennett, Matt Forte, Brandon Marshall around him, that made that offense something that we had never seen. A quarterback who – and Steve's talked about this week after week after week – when was the excuses going to stop? We had never seen that collection of wide receivers. Alshon Jeffrey, you had two guys that could get 1,200 yards. You had a running back, 1,200 all-purpose yards. That was the most exciting I had been for a balanced roster, even with an aging defense. And I think that's kind of the vibe I got now. Honestly, if we're looking at interesting as the major component, Danny, you know what I mean, guys? I just want to see if y'all were looking at the same room.
Well, yeah, so in terms of sheer names, I think because the defense in 2012, yes, aging, but Urlacher's still there, Briggs is there, mm-hmm. Tillman's there, Peppers is there.
So
all those guys are there, but on offense, you do add in Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey. Now, you remove Olsen, but you have the best wide receiver duo in Bears history. You still have Lovey. You still have Forte, who's still a good team. It was a 10-win team. So I think that in terms of personality, because Brandon Marshall is one of the biggest football personalities we've seen in this town since 85, I think it's a pretty good suggestion.
Yeah, it's a really good suggestion. And because,
obviously not as compelling of a season because 2010 is Bears-Packers NFC Championship game.
And what he's right about in terms of the comp is like by the time you got to the end of 2012, and I remember, I think that's when I laid down my Jay Cutler conversational sword. Like I couldn't engage in it anymore. All the excuses had been exhausted, to Shad's point. All of like, well, but he doesn't have this. He doesn't have that. He doesn't have this. He doesn't have that. Then he had Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey, and still he would have moments and times and weeks where it wasn't good enough. I put the sword in the scabbard at that point. It's like you couldn't defend him anymore. And so that was extremely interesting to realize that you were done with a lot of those conversations.
Well, Speaks, you remember you were doing shows going into that season in 2013. Like, we were talking about that team as a team with Super Bowl aspirations because of everything they added, and also firing Lovie Smith after 10-6.
Yes.
We were like, ooh, this is an organization that's not playing around anymore. And you add all these weapons, and we're like, okay, we've got something here.
Yeah,
you know?
And to the coaching question, in terms of the interest in Trestman was insane, man. I bought the guy's book, and we do daily readings from the helping friendly book of trying to understand who do we have here in Mark Trestman, because it was a crazy career and resume where he'd never been given a shot as a head coach in the NFL, but Phil Emery was the guy to give it to him. It was like, oh my God, he's going to come in here with a high-flying offense. It's going to be wide open. It's going to be better than anything we've ever had just to go with that defense. So there was a tremendous amount of intrigue in the Trestman years.
It's tough for me to separate. I think 12 had more dynamic personalities, but 10, the season is obvious. I mean, Bears-Packers on Championship Sunday is as big of a game as this town can have.
Yes, and everything that happened with these are actual headlines from local papers. No, they weren't. No, they weren't, Moose Johnston. And all of that intrigue, and that's the whole town rose up and defended Jay Cutler all of a sudden after Maurice Jones-Drew and others were attacking him. Yeah, it's hard to separate post-season.
Steve in Forest Park is on the score.
You know, part of why Lovey wasn't interesting was because week after week, he was spitting out, practically choking on the words, Rex is our quarterback. And then Orton wins how many games in a row? What, 8 games in a row or something? Mm-hmm. And then he puts Rex back in the Super Bowl. And that's probably the reason why he got fired.
Yeah. I mean, that was certainly one of the more polarizing moments, you know, since that era that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So since I've been here, it's 2019. Even though the field's hype after the Cowboys game, the Dolphins game, the Patriots game, the field's hype was pretty damn unbelievable. And I was obviously way out in front and over my skis on that, no question. I'm willing to admit that now.
What?
I know.
Wait. What?
I don't remember it that way.
Me neither. Yeah.
I thought Danny
like some kind of sort of party atmosphere. Nah, or something.
Danny was
like that.
He was very measured. I thought he was measured in his enthusiasm.
Did you assign a spot to him on the depth chart?
I think so. I think that's how crazy it was. That's how crazy it was.
It was based on his uniform number. I think that was just the only correlation.
Oh, I thought he anointed him the starter.
Yeah.
Anointed him the king. You guys, the anointed king.
Stop calling.
Caleb. But, I know. Keep calling.
But the 2019, you had the Mitch hype. You had the Khalil Mack trade. You had coming off of double doink and Cody Parkey and the Today Show and the defense the year before, 36 turnovers. You had the coach of the year.
Yeah, I think that's the most hyped offseason, recently before this one. I mean, that offseason was
ridiculous.
Outrageous.
But with Nagy, like, he wasn't the most dynamic personality, but he wasn't bad. We hadn't really grown tired of him at the time.
Had not.
And 8 of the 32 coaches in the NFL at that point were either Andy Reid or people on the Andy Reid tree. Mm-hmm. So you did feel like you were doing what the rest of the league was doing in terms of offense and that you were finally modernizing it. Now, obviously, we know how that played out. But in the moment, it was, one of the best defensive players, top quarterback prospect.
For sure.
Coach doing the thing that you need to do in order to win big and maximize the quarterback prospect.
It's just that that's why the offseason is so completely separate from what the season was, because right away after the opening night fart against Green Bay on the Thursday night, it was like, we are not that. That is as let down by any offseason, maybe from any team, that I've ever been in terms of that early in a season. Are you kidding me?
Did you see opening night fart at the Aragon in 2019? They've never played a second show.
No, but why would you? After that's what happens.
They only play one night.
After that, that's what happens on opening night? Hell no. Anybody want to advocate for the Super Bowl season or the season before in terms of 2005 and 2006? I mean, 2005 is when it breaks open. You know, when you're like, oh boy, these guys.
And they make upgrades to the offensive line going into 06,
yes,
right? So we're like, oh, okay, this feels a bit more complete.
Uh-huh. It's real hard for me if I'm doing an interesting and it's Lovey and Rex. If I'm doing Q rating, it's very tough for me to give it to that. If it's since the 85 Bears, and that's Ditka and Jim McMahon, and you want me to make an argument for, it's the only Bears team that's made a Super Bowl since, so on the field success, of course, it matters a ton.
Yeah.
But interesting, at coach and quarterback, Lovey and Rex, I can't.
You know what's interesting,
I don't
Danny?
Think so.
Danny, you know what's interesting? Wins.
I know.
Wins are interesting, Dan.
I know. But
even if it's not a preferred style for you, my friend.
Again, just this exercise, it's a different thing. Like, so how close do you think, like, if I give you, let's say it's yours, let's say it's 2010.
Okay.
How close is this team to being more interesting than that team?
Well, it's even more interesting than that.
That's what I'm saying.
It's
they got a quarterback from USC.
Yeah. No, I mean, this is there's a lot here, dude. Dan Pompey wrote about Montez Sweat today in The Athletic. Really interesting article. Really compelling article on a fascinating dude who's also a badass. You talked about Jalen and we are close to this. We love Tevin. I mean, there's interesting people on the offensive line.
Yeah.
But the Keenan Allen now, we played some of Keenan Allen mic'd up. yesterday. I mean, that is a vet who is an interesting dude. And then there's Caleb, who's as fascinating as any quarterback to enter this league that high. I mean, really, it's in a long, long time. This is there's a lot here.
Caleb carries a huge percentage of the weight here, if we're talking about interesting. Because these other guys, I think Jalen is interesting. There are other very good players. DJ Moore is really good. I'm not sure how interesting he is. Like Keenan Allen is really good, seems to be entertaining. We're going to get to know him a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. But Caleb is the most interesting and compelling quarterback that they've had since Cutler. Right, I mean, yeah. It's like he's
not. It's not even close.
Not even close. And Justin was really clearly a good dude, a solid dude, and the talent completely beguiling. And you'd see incredible highlights. We had one of the number one highlight click guys on a Monday morning on NFL.com, and that was incredible. But Caleb, as a human, and with the background and everything, is different level.
Different level. Justin was interesting to talk about because he was interesting to watch because he played the game so differently than anyone we'd watched in this town. So Justin was interesting. Not interesting really as a speaker, but he was very interesting to talk about. But I did not find, I don't think that even compares to what this is. I guess the caller, by the way, was conflating the years. I didn't even hear him say. Grossman started every game of the Super Bowl year, just to put a bow on that call, because a couple of people are texting.
Oh,
that.
Yeah,
I didn't even hear him say that. I think he was doing 2005,
yeah, 2006. He's doing 2005. Yeah, in 2016, it's Grossman, and it's Brian Greasy was here as a backup, right?
Yeah, I didn't even hear him say that. I apologize. John and Logan Square, we're talking most interesting Bears team since 85, and if this team's got a shot at it. Go ahead, John.
Any John Fox team, because when he opened his mouth, it was hilarious. He was so stupid. He's so dumb. It's just funny. And the thing about Caleb coming into the league is he's not just like one of the more exciting players on the Bears. He might be the most exciting player in the league, given that he's a disruptor. He's coming in during a new time where he's a businessman with millions of dollars directing the NFL what he wants versus the other way around.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I think that Caleb is incredibly fascinating for all of those reasons and more. David Haw texts in 2014. So that's Tressman with Aaron Cromer as the OC.
Boy, that was an
interesting
year.
Team. It was, Cutler.
That's the year of the back-to-back 50 burgers surrounded by the bye that got Mark Tressman fired after just year two. He and Phil Emery both. I was sitting here with Pat Manley for that whole week, and Pat Manley would slowly tell you a little bit more truth about Mark Tressman every week. He'd slowly tell you a little bit more about just how weird that guy was and how disrespected he was by the entire team.
Yeah, so that is, I could imagine that being an incredibly fun team to write about.
Oh, and he's right in terms of interesting. Cromer put his foot in his mouth and had to address the entire team and apologize.
Yeah, for being the leak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God. And that's
still had Martellus Bennett, Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffery.
Oh, Martellus was great. Martellus was doing live score radio shows, just like like spitting truths and talking about his comic books and like compelling radio shows. Yeah, that's the year that Lance Briggs went and opened a barbecue store, went and opened a barbecue restaurant. The week before the season opener, and everybody's like, "Oh, I guess you can do anything you want with this guy around." That seems interesting.
Yeah, it's a different type of interesting, right? That's interesting, like a car crash, like a train wreck. It's interesting for its dysfunction. So certainly implies it definitely fits into the umbrella here. But I think the way of looking at it shows it's a pretty low bar to clear. Like if Caleb's that dude, it's a pretty damn low bar for this team to clear. One or two other people emerges out of Hard Knocks. One guy breaks out as an impact player with a big personality that people care about. Everyone's going to be, Cole Kmet will be on fantasy teams. Keenan Allen will be on fantasy teams. DeAndre Swift, DJ Moore. A lot of people in a lot of places are going to care about the Bears this year in a way that they often don't.
You've got a league and a national media that would love to have a big market, shiny behemoth that they can add to their Cowboys conversation. You know?
Yes.
Maybe, Danny, you're filling in for Coward sometime during the football season, and Bears is going to be the lead when there isn't really even a story to go along with it.
People are going to care, man.
Because people are going to care.
We'll get more reaction on this coming in, which we will get to, plus some great stuff with Olin in with the guys, Mully and Haw, this morning. So we'll play some of that for you as well. But interesting. And the Chicago Bears, it's soon, man. Camp, first day is tomorrow. Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
I love this. This is my type of party. I love this.
Afternoons on the Score.
Talking Bears. They have training camp tomorrow. Pretty exciting.
How about Daniel Van Kirk's story about you two, who we're hearing right here, off the air, about the Sphere?
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Dude. I mean, like, you ever time it out perfectly so you go to a sporting event for incredibly low money at just the right time? Like, you're playing StubHub Chicken or that kind of thing. Like, I used to be able to do it when I was in college in Boston. You used to be able to just show up in, like, the eighth inning to Fenway Park, and they'd have opened the gates to let people out.
Yeah.
And you could just walk in.
That's awesome.
I went to tons of Red Sox games just walking in for the eighth inning. Van Kirk's story was buying a StubHub ticket for $5 and seeing you two just before the encore. Saw an hour's worth of the hits for $5 at the Sphere.
Yeah, that seems like a hack. If you know that the encore is going to be an hour long and you can get it for $5, I mean, for Bernstein, it's the perfect length of a concert.
That's exactly right.
Why pay for full pro? Why pay for a three-hour show? $800 for a three-hour show. Standing room only was the thing, like, for Cubs games. They would sell you SRO tickets, couldn't get into the bleachers, but if the team wasn't very good, and the ushers are only really down at the lower levels, sit in any seat in the 200s with the overhang.
With the standing room only ticket.
$10.
Yeah, that's
and then,
strong.
Yeah, you might have to move around if someone shows up and is like, hey, you're in my seat. It's like, oh, yeah, but there's 28,000 people here. It holds 40. There's another seat right next to it.
I did used to love going to White Sox games and paying for the cheapest ticket on the lower bowl that I could possibly find. And the usher situation, this was in my 20s. The usher situation was horrific. And you could just go down and sit absolutely
sit
anywhere.
Sit in the front row.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just go all the way down and do that, which is a very lovely thing.
Talking about most interesting Bears teams other than 85, and if this team's got a shot at it on a curating basis, Jerry's in Mokina. He's on the Parkinson Spiegel Show. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, the team that went to the Super Bowl had a bunch of characters, Urlacher and Devin Hester, and I think that was probably one of the biggest character teams going. I'm really, you know, it's hard to really take it in, the anointing of this kid. He hasn't thrown a pass, our new quarterback, and people are talking like he's the second coming. You know, I want to see him do something before we do anything. I just don't understand his first time out and against our defense. He throws a bunch of interceptions. I mean, that's all forgotten.
No, it's not. It's not forgotten. Let's talk about it. You do realize that a big part of the anointing, or the excitement anyway, is that he doesn't have to do as much as he doesn't have to show up and throw for a crazy amount of yards and be a hero because the team's really good around him. You realize that? It's the souped-up car, like Brad Biggs was saying on the morning show. That's a massive part of the excitement. It's not just about the quarterback.
I totally agree with that. The team around him is fantastic. But he still has to throw a pass. He still has to make the reads. 7-on-7, he had super players around him, and he still threw a bunch of interceptions.
As he should.
So the bottom line is, he needs to step it up and show us what he can do. Look at how well Cutler did after coming out of the Broncos and a trade and everything, and then he gets here, and he's nothing. So I want to see, the bottom line is, with the Bears, if you're developing a quarterback, it doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen.
So I'm just curious, are you saying wait and see, or you don't think he will be good?
I want to see wait and see. I want to see what happens. I want to see what's going on.
Allow yourself to have some positivity. Allow yourself to have a little bit of optimism. It's okay.
I do have positivity. But what I would like to do is go out and get Tannehill and have him be his guide and help him on the bench, sit him on the bench. And if something happens, then we have a backup quarterback who didn't play NAIA football, who had a pullback playbook. Let's be smart about things.
I thought you wanted Chris Tannehill.
Now, I get you. I mean, it's the rest of the roster screams winning year. Right,
the quarterback screams winning year.
In the modern NFL, the quarterback screams winning year.
It's
as
not
well.
Ridiculous to have a rookie quarterback have a winning year.
No, it is not. It is crazy to see a rookie quarterback do what C.J. Stroud did. That's an incredible bar, and that is the exception to the rule.
But it's not a singular exception.
Well, his numbers and success, I think, were singular in terms of rookies.
Not in terms of touchdowns. Not in terms of yards.
But in terms of overall efficiency, all-time rookie quarterback yards and touchdowns.
Touchdowns not close. He was he was 23 passing touchdowns last year. Herbert has the record with 31. The fact that Stroud had over 4,000 passing yards with only 5 interceptions.
Uh-huh.
That the efficiency was crazy, and he won a playoff game.
Number 3 all time for yards as a rookie is C.J. Stroud. So yeah, you're right. Herbert and Luck before that,
and Luck had 18 picks to go with it,
mm-hmm.
and 40 something sacks, and Herbert only had 10 interceptions. So I mean, we've seen good rookie quarterback seasons recently, and winning seasons by rookie quarterbacks. I mean, Luck won 11 games. Herbert, I think, only won 8 or 9 games that year.
C.J. Stroud, 3rd all-time in quarterback rating as a rookie. Dak Prescott, 4th round pick in 2016. 104.9, Robert Griffin III, and then C.J. Stroud. But then Russell Wilson, Jake Browning.
There you go.
Yeah, whatever. And then Justin Herbert. So look, there are a few. There are a few. But he doesn't have to be a superstar with everything else. He doesn't have to have a superstar season. And that'll be a lot of the topic of conversation. It is an opportunity to be optimistic or not for a lot of Bears fans.
Yes, and I will choose optimism. The Gridiron Assassin has texted in what Grody said was his most interesting team since 85 when he talked to us off air. He said, don't sleep on the 0-1 Bears. Angelo is hired. Jerron is on thin ice. Jerron brings in Washington and Traylor to put 700 pounds of beef in front of Urlacher. They lose to 2 teams in the regular season. Jim Miller gets the 13-3 Bears to a playoff bye. Jerron, coach of the year.
Yeah.
That was an interesting, fun team. And then the point that Bernstein was making.
But it was Jim Miller the whole time. You're like, really?
Right.
Really? This is happening? We can do this? But, you know, it had a very, very special feeling up until the Eagles' destruction in the playoffs.
Yeah, and the Mike Brown games and everything that came with it. And obviously, Traylor and Washington were just a sight to behold on the same defensive line together. The other thing that Bernstein made the point off air of guys who you still care about, who still matter in this town. Forte, Briggs, Tillman, Olin. That those guys have
Peanut, man. Yeah, Peanut Tillman. Yesterday we played Peanut Tillman's speech to the Bears that the Bears TV productions of 1900 Football Drive put out. Peanut matters. Yeah, no, there's a bunch of dudes from those teams, without a doubt.
Mark in Naperville's on the score. What up, Mark?
Hey, I was wondering, you guys are talking about interesting storylines with the Bears in the offseason. What about the arranged marriage between Mike Martz and Jay Cutler back in the early 2010s?
Crazy interesting.
Yeah, mentioned that season for sure, and that dynamic was a huge, huge piece of it.
It's a huge piece of it, too, because the Lovey defense was designed to go along with the Martz offense. Like, Greatest Show on Turf and Lovey's Bend But Don't Break defense were, like, designed to be together. So here they were together, and just the ugliness. Tell Martz I said F you. I mean, that whole season was unbelievably compelling.
Dino in Mount Greenwood is on the score.
Can you believe that happened?
One second, Dino.
Yeah,
one second.
Yeah. We had a quarterback who said, and it was caught on microphone, tell my offensive coordinator I said F you.
That's a good one. Aaron Cromer as the leak apologizing to the team, though, is also a can you believe that happened. They've had a lot of dysfunction, not a lot of national curated, because a lot of these examples are why they were so interesting in Chicago. These are not crossover, national, everybody cares about your team levels of interesting. Dino in Mount Greenwood on the score. What up, Dino? Sorry about that.
Hi. I think I'm going to end the segment because the only right answer here, and this is actually coming from the Twitch mob, by the way, is 1986. You have all the same guys from 85. On top of that, you drafted Neil Anderson, and I believe that might be the roster for Tecmo Bowl. I might be mistaken. It might be 87. But if you're talking about Q rating, and if 85 is the pinnacle, 86 has got to be the right answer. I mean, that's also the Charles Martin year where he body slammed McMahon, and that's the reason why they lost in the playoffs.
And you didn't even get to Doug Flutie yet. Doug Flutie is here.
Doug Flutie is the rookie. Glenn Klausowski is the last pick. Good Polish kid. I mean, it's not fun to just go 1 year out.
Exactly.
Like
it feels like you're cheating. You and the Twitches are cheating.
Yeah. But congratulations on the arrogance of thinking you're going to end the segment.
And Charles Martin, I never say anything other than rest his soul, but may he rot and burn in hell. Period. New paragraph.
All right, that's a good point.
I never say anything other than rest his soul, but may he rot and burn in hell. Those two sentences next to each other. I think the real answer, if I can end the segment, okay?
I mean, Dino should have ended the segment if we're following our clock.
Right.
So, well, he was right about that.
I'm going to go ahead and end it.
Okay.
The real answer is this year. That's the real answer.
Point of the exercise.
Yeah. This year right now. Yeah,
isn't that how we teased it? Like,
yeah.
So what I'm saying is this has been a colossal waste of time.
This life in radio?
This life.
This life. Yeah. The entire thing. We're going to the Cubs game with a member of the Twitch mob, right? One of the Twitch mob members won the one.
Skizot.
Yeah. Skizot won tickets.
He's so straight the way he goes by Skizot.
That's perfect.
That's tomorrow. We're hanging out in the suite with listeners.
It's going to be great.
The luxury suite at Wrigley Field.
That's where the Cubs play.
Yeah, and that's where the suite is.
It's a good place for it.
Tanny's going to be there.
Who are they playing?
Diamondbacks.
Ooh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
It's a good team. They were the team of the moment on Hit and Run this past
pitching?
Sunday.
Wow. Yeah. Not only were they in the World Series, but they were also the team of the moment.
They really were.
They hung a banner.
They should have.
For being team of the moment.
You can't believe the Cubs and the Diamondbacks both have pitchers named TBD, and they're both throwing tomorrow.
Yeah.
What a coincidence.
Wow.
It's crazy. Diamondbacks have been really good lately.
All right, end it.
Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Twitch and YouTube wants to see Whitey.
Come on over here, Whitey, say hello.
What's up, Windy City?
Afternoons on the score.
You know, it's funny. Olin's saying that two nights ago with the score crew, the afternoon crew, I was out to dinner with Pat Manley. And somehow we got talking about training camp.
What the hell?
That's interesting. He wasn't even out with the whole afternoon crew. It would not have been hard for him to say I was out with Shane and Tanny and Pat Manley.
No. He was out with the afternoon crew, but he only had dinner with Pat Manley.
Hey, Shane, did you have dinner?
Yeah, I had dinner. Tanny, did you have dinner?
A lot of dinner.
Yeah.
Wow.
Was Wani there when you guys had dinner?
Yeah. Well, Manley was too.
Physically, when he wasn't watching his phone, you know, this millennial Wani over here.
Interesting. And Shane, didn't you set up the dinner?
Yeah. Wani would not have eaten dinner that night if it wasn't for me. Wani and his lovely wife, by the way, and Pat Manley and his lovely wife.
Oh, they were all there?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I brought all those people.
Wow.
But Wani was only there with Pat Manley.
Apparently, Wani only ate with Pat Manley. Could you tell that he just wasn't paying any attention to you, was only gazing deep into the eyes of Pat Manley?
Yeah, pretty much.
During dinner?
Yeah.
It's kind of understandable, actually, though, isn't it?
Last time I do anything for him.
For Coach?
That's odd.
I don't believe it.
It's also not true.
Yeah.
I did not do stuff for Dave Wanstead.
Not anymore.
Wow.
And make him another sidecar.
Yeah, probably.
That from this morning, Olin did a segment, and then Olin and Wani did a segment together, then Wani did a segment alone, and then Brad Biggs was there. There were more than 60 people there in the performance studio. I was talking to Rich Wyatt. There were 35 people there at 5:30 in the morning. At 5:30 in the morning, people lined up and ready to go. That thing worked out beautifully. Congrats to Mully and Haw and Dustin William Rhodes and Brandon Fryer and everybody involved. It seemed like an incredible event this morning.
It did. And Olin Krutz, whenever he speaks on the Bears, we like to listen. He mentions what concerns he does have for this 2024 team.
Yeah, we're July positive. Right? Everybody's July positive right now in football. Everything is great. Caleb Williams is going to the Hall of Fame. The defense is going to be top five.
He actually is.
Right, he is going to Hall of Fame.
August 1st.
August 1st.
Yeah, there you go.
NFL Hall of Fame. But, yes, these are the things. There's a lot to worry about with this team. There's a lot to worry about development, young players taking another step. This defense, Jalen Johnson having the kind of year he had last year. Darnell Wright. Well, have they developed him? If you look at the Chicago Bears, look at their website. Look under guys who have jobs. Look how many people they have there. A director of high performance, strength coach, a director of nutrition. They got more directors than they got all over Illinois. These are all their job titles mean is player development, right? Get them to take another step. They need Pro Bowlers on that offside of the ball. They have Keenan Allen, who stepped in on the way in. I heard David say, well, they do have a Hall of Famer. Not in his Hall of Fame years, right? He's a little older now. So we have to have guys step up. DJ Moore, Cole Kmet. They have more weapons than I've maybe ever seen on the Chicago Bears offside of the ball. Right?
And they may have more than you ever played.
Yes, certainly, yes. You don't have to tell me twice. and they may have the best passer they've ever had. Right, they may have the best passing quarterback they ever had for the Chicago Bears. Interesting argument we used to always have when I talk to people. I always found it interesting about Justin Fields. They would say, well, the only problem he has is throwing the ball. And I say, well, that's pretty important for a quarterback, right? Yeah. So, you know, it's like saying, well, the only problem you have is blocking people. That wouldn't work out well. So very interesting time for Chicago Bears. New offensive coordinator. I think everybody knows how important that relationship, the quarterback, the offensive coordinator. So they have a lot of things, as Mully is saying, a lot of things you're worried about, but also a lot of things to be positive about with the amount of talent they have in that building.
July positive.
Yeah.
Damn right. And there's a lot of pressure on the coaches, both the offensive line coach, Mr. Morgan, the offensive coordinator, Mr. Waldron, or as we like to call them, Shane and Chris.
Shane and Chris.
Our guys.
Yeah, they are. And by the way, July positive is a good thing. It's a good thing.
I'll take it over July negative.
Yeah. And this town needs it. Say it's hope trafficking. Say it's delusional. Say it ignores history. Whatever you want. There is legit reason to be July positive. It's not ridiculous. You got the number one pick in the draft. You won 7 games last year. You added the top 10. You added Roma Dunze and Keenan Allen and DeAndre Swift.
It's like the way you feel about the Blackhawks after the NHL draft. You're July positive.
Always.
You know?
I love that.
It's like the way you feel after watching Summer League, Tanny, as a doctor of the NBA. I mean, you're extremely July positive.
The puck control that kid's going to bring with the second pick in the draft.
Good job.
I mean, there's so much ice time that he's going to get.
Yeah.
He's going to just have puck luck all over the place.
Ooh, keep going. This is good.
It's just unbelievable.
What's his Corsi going to be, you think?
High.
Yeah. High. You know, I think high is better for Corsi.
High, of course it is. I know.
Yeah.
That's how good he is. Second pick of the draft paired with the number one pick from last year.
You're on fire
now. Saying.
It's incredible.
All those slap shots and one-timers. It's going to be amazing.
Those are hockey terms.
They got the puck on a string out there.
Ooh, yeah, it's tough. All right. Don't want it on a string.
You don't want it on a string?
I mean, I guess.
I think you do want it on a string.
Yeah, but
all right, let's get back to Olin Krutz. I don't want to wow the audience with all my puck knowledge. Yeah. There are big expectations, right, Olin?
can the Bears handle success? Are the expectations going to affect them so that maybe they don't know what it takes to be the team that they can to fulfill that kind of potential? Is that a concern going into the season?
Yeah, I think it's a great question, right? Because I always tell people, and I think, Dave, I think I know what you're talking about. I always say I became a worse football player when I learned how to win in the NFL, right? Like learning how to win in the NFL, learning the things it takes, the amount of focus it takes during the week on things that actually win football games, right? Don't turn the ball over, critical moments, critical drives, situational football. This is a moment right here. Somebody in the huddle. This is a moment. This is a play, guys. We got to win this play. Looking for those plays, preparing for those plays, knowing when those plays come, knowing what play is going to be called, what defense they're going to run, how to attack, what they do versus what you do, who the ball is going. All these things are extraordinarily important, knowing what we're in the middle of a game. And I say, Mully, this is it, man. This play right here. We have to execute here, or this game may go in the wrong direction. So who's on their team? Keenan Allen comes to mind immediately, won some football games in San Diego, right on the offensive side of the ball. But other than that, when you take a look at it, like you're saying, who, right? Tremaine Edmonds for the Buffalo Bills. These are the guys that have to take leadership roles, and they haven't been there for a long time. When you look at teams who do a lot of winning, they usually have guys in critical positions that have been there for 8, 9, 10-plus years.
Bring me a blocking sled so I can hurl my body into it at incredibly high velocities.
Football.
Olin. He sounds like football. He makes me want to play football. Maybe it's because we're both centers.
Right.
You know?
Colleagues.
It speaks to my desire. It makes me want to snap a football and beat the hell out of a defensive lineman. Let's go.
The Cubs are being speculated about for the trade deadline, but not in a way many of us would like. And some interesting news, a note item that got at least some of our attention. Next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.